The New Testament Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. An outline of the chapter. Where did Israel go wrong? Under 5 points. A. Israelites, though zealous for God, were mistaken. B. The role of written revelation in teaching Paul his new theology. And C. There is one Lord for all, Jews and Gentiles alike. B prime, the role of audible revelation. And A prime, Israel is disobedient. Point A. Yes, the Jews are zealous for God, but mistaken.
Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify that they have a zeal for God, but it is not based on knowledge.
By Israelites, we mean the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Zeal means to be dedicated either for or against something. And knowledge, epignosis, translates accurate understanding. This is what they lack. Well, what does this have to do with goals?
Not knowing the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they have not submitted to God's righteousness. For Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes.
To submit is to yield or to obey, and culmination translates the Greek term telos, meaning a goal or outcome. The main purpose of God's law was to bring us to faith in his Messiah. With the giving of God's laws, we have written revelation from God.
Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down.
The two quotations come from Leviticus chapter 18 and Deuteronomy chapter 30. Did Jesus descend into the abyss?
Or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith that we proclaim.
To say what the scripture says comes from Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. In your mouth, that is your public admission or confession, and in your heart, your inner commitment or belief. When does this happen?
Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
If you confess, that is, salvation is conditional. That is, we must both confess, beginning with our baptism and onwards, and believe, that is, to trust and to remain faithful. Believe what? That God raised Jesus out of hell back into his body, changing his body to a glorified body, and then raising him on into the highest heaven. The result or the outcome is that we will be saved, that is, we will receive all that Jesus promised to us. So, one believes with the heart.
For one believes with the heart, leading to righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, leading to salvation. For the scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame.
Righteousness in this book begins with being acquitted, forgiven of all our sins, bringing us back to a morally neutral state, whereas salvation includes all that Jesus promised. And as the scripture said, we will never be put to shame. Shame comes from being exposed. Well, the main point is that there is one Lord for all.
For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
God is generous. He shares his wealth to those who call upon the name of the Lord. The Greek term means to call out to a higher authority. The quotation here is from Joel chapter 2, verse 32. And Lord in verse 9 was Jesus, whereas in verse 13 it is Yahweh. Is Jesus Yahweh? Let's try to summarize. Verse 8 spoke about both mouth and heart in Deuteronomy 30. Verse 9 brings together to confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus, with the outcome God will save you. Verse 10, in converse order, believe in the heart results in righteousness or acquittal, and confess with the mouth leads to salvation, which is everlasting life. In verse 11, believe in him results in no shame, according to Isaiah, and we call on the Lord because he is generous to all. In verse 13, quoting Joel, you call on the name of Yahweh, and God will save you. Well, here's the logical question. If to confess Jesus as Lord means to call on Yahweh, then Jesus must be Yahweh. Now, Paul returns to one of the main purposes of writing this epistle.
But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Paul wanted the Romans to send him to Spain, which had not yet received the gospel. Paul insists that faith comes from what is heard, which implies audible revelation, as even the scripture said.
But not all have obeyed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ.
The word of Christ being words about Christ, including Christ's own words. To obey what? Well, Jesus said, repent and believe. The term here for message is the Greek word akoi, meaning something audible. And the term word, rhema, normally refers to human speech. Well, if the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork,
but I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world.
The voice here, in Psalm 19, verse 4, refers both to the sky and to the written law of God. The term earth is what is usually translated the land, meaning ancient Israel. The ends of the land, quoted by Jesus in Acts 1:8, uses the Greek term oikoumene, which was usually a reference to the Roman Empire beyond the limits of the land of Israel. What did Paul mean by a foolish nation? Coming round now to the final point, here is the issue, disobedient Israel.
Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will use those who are not a nation to make you jealous. With a foolish nation I will provoke you.
Well, Moses had said this in Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. The first term here for nation is Am in Hebrew, meaning a people group, a population. And the second word nation is the term Goy, which usually meant a Gentile nation. So God is trying to provoke Israel. often meaning to provoke to anger, such as Yahweh's anger, but in this case, to make Israel jealous. And indeed, Gentile Christians have done far more to bring the world to faith in the God of the Bible than did Israel. Nevertheless, the Lord is willing for Israelites to repent and believe.
Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me.
But of Israel he says,
All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people.
These were the words of Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 1 through 2.